Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away.
Should disruptive passengers be banned from flying? It's Jet2 Airlines that's calling on the British government to create a national database for disruptive passengers. Apparently chaos broke out in a flight heading to the UK on Monday. And according to some of the reports in Britain this morning, an Irish passenger was recorded hurling verbal abuse at other passengers and airline staff. And that seems to be why the airline is now demanding the government there create this database to try and stop incidents like this from happening again. Marissa's with me on the line today. Marissa, of course, is a former air hostess and author of Confessions of an Air Hostess. Do we need a disruptive passenger database, Marissa?
I don't think that would work. I don't think it would work to put people's name on in the database for the simple reason that there's different types of disruptive behaviour on airlines. And say like an 18-year-old heading off to Ibiza and gets pretty drunk, and I've seen that quite a lot. But then they grow up, you know, and they want to fly with their family. They're going to a funeral and their name is on the database and they can't fly anywhere. It just wouldn't work, you know. The airlines cannot police people, but you know that's for the courts, for the police. It's not for airlines to be taking a note of people's bad behavior. But what I would seriously I seriously condone bad behavior where somebody like that man was putting people's lives in danger and was extremely disruptive. And that is absolutely terrifying if you're on a plane in a confined space. So there needs to be much stricter fines. There needs to be imprisonment. The answer is just to deter these people, not keep a note of everybody's name for the rest of their lives. I just couldn't see that working.
We want to hear what passengers, what listeners have witnessed on board flights today. What kind of incidents, Marissa? It's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. So you think just leave this to the airport police and the courts to do their job?
Yes. Well, to be honest, I mean, the check-in staff, the people who are weighing bags and everything, really need to concentrate more on the type of people they're letting on the plane, because a lot of passengers who caused trouble, you know, they were already inebriated before they got on the flight. And I used to feel that the check-in staff or, you know, the ground staff used to just try and get them on the flight to get rid of them, you know, let's just put them on the flight. Nobody should be allowed on board if they're inebriated, because they're not in an emergency. They wouldn't be able to get themselves off the plane and they might hamper other people's exit from the plane. So, you know, I've always said that I'm totally for people being able to enjoy a drink on board. I don't see why everyone will be punished because of a few. But intoxication in a public area is when you're a danger to someone else, that's an offence. And so you can't behave on the plane as if you're in your own home, and you certainly can't threaten people. So, in all the years I was flying, I only had one passenger who was sent to prison. And I really think, you know, and they probably say, well, we don't have enough places to put these people. But there's a big difference between somebody being disruptive on an aircraft and being disruptive in a pub or on the street where you can call the police. Yeah.
Interesting text from this listener. We want to hear listener stories today. 1800 453 106, the number. I'm an Irish man working in London. I go over and back every week for nearly 10 years. I've seen plenty of things on flights, and particularly short flights as well. One incident that stands out though, I was flying home one Friday morning and was in my seat on the plane. And from what I remember, I was sitting maybe around row 18. So presume that must be the middle of the plane as well. There was a group of English lads heading to Dublin for a stag, sitting at the very back of the flight. And from what I was listening to, they had a couple of drinks. The flight attendant had just finished the safety demonstration when one of them then jumped up and ran to the rear door of the plane and tried to open it. Spent 2 hours in the flight. Obviously, this fella was arrested. Everybody in the plane had to give a statement. There was a load of American people on the flight as well, with connecting flights in Dublin, which they then missed. It caused a huge problem for absolutely everybody on board. What about you, Sheila? Do you think we need something like a national database for repeat offenders?
I do actually. I've had a lot of flights over the years, and I've seen a lot of people drunk on the plane, but not necessarily causing a problem. But one time I was on a flight, and a couple across from me started having a fight, and it escalated into a fist fight. And then
the couple,
and then there were other people in front of me who were part of their party, and they joined in, and they ended up throwing all the food off their plates, and a big chunk of somebody else's dinner landed on my plate at one stage. And I mean, it was very disruptive, and they would not listen to the flight attendants. They just wouldn't listen to them.
And I'm sure it was frightening as well, Sheila.
Well, it wasn't very pleasant, that's for sure. So I do think that people like that, they shouldn't be allowed on another flight. Maybe make it time limited or something, just to teach them a lesson, maybe a year or 2 years or whatever. But certainly I think there should be some notice taken of that, and that should be known about. I mean, it was a massive fist fight happened, and there was nothing anybody could do because these were all big lumps of people.
But I mean, regardless of that, you know, I don't know whether it be the guards or the police or wherever whatever country you're landing in. Surely
landing in Ireland.
You're landing in, so they should be really brought. Yeah. No, there should be. I suppose the airport police are there. They're, you know, the people should be detained. The guards are involved. I mean, sure, that's a public order and offence in the first instance.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
So
yeah,
that should go before the courts rather than a national database, I suppose.
Well, but I mean, I mean, should the airlines have to deal with that up in the air? I mean, there's a lot of people at risk up there. So I'm not sure those people should be allowed back on a flight.
What about you, Jackie? Would you put them back on a flight? Would you allow those people back on a flight? Jackie, you can hear me okay.
Oh,
how are you?
Sorry. Oh, good. I would be one for three strikes and you're gone. In a way that, number one, that if someone is involved, and those are horrific stories. I haven't seen that bad of incidents on any flights I was on. But like, there should be fines immediately that, you know, that the airline or the police, the airport police should be involved, and that there should be major fines, court case. But then there should be added as a possible risk. But then three strikes and they're gone. But
no,
you know,
flights again.
Well, surely to God, if someone got one, you know, kind of got warned and said, look, you have two more chances.
Yeah.
You know, you're on a list here. Surely the you know, to start behaving. But, you know, there's another point here, Andrea, that I'd like to make is, you know, the lead up to check-in. When you come in, and this is, I find it so stressful trying to get through queues, get in through security, you know, then the baggage. Say if you take certain airlines, or they're going around looking at your hand luggage that you would have had going on a plane for years, and, you know, the same size, and then suddenly, sorry, that's going to be 70 euros because it's a millimeter is hanging out over the thing. And then you have people who are going to the bar in the airport and are, you know, kind of get kind of to start their holiday in the airport. And, you know, so there's the lead up to this that needs to be looked at, because, geez, you can find it quite stressing, you know, that before you even get on the plane. And then when you're on the plane, I've come across staff that can be awkward as well and not that, you know, not that helpful as well.
I think, you're making a point that a lot of our listeners are getting in touch about here, Jackie. I think drink should be banned from all planes and airports. A no-fly list of any troublemakers, says this texter. If something goes wrong, you need people in the right frame of mind in an emergency situation. Would you go that far, Jackie?
Well, you know, if a plane had to, God forbid, come down and you have to go and jump out onto the ramp, you know, that they put out, someone who's absolutely fallen around the place, they're not going to be able to jump out. They're, you know, they'll have to be brought and helped. But even coming down, you know, the stairs down there, you know how steep that is. Now, I've seen people and a couple of people trying to help a lad down one time, you know, but I mean,
Marissa, is that what this comes back to? Does it come back really to banning drink, you know, or
no,
either the number
no,
of drink?
No, no, no. And I've always said, every year somebody says that drinks should be banned at the airport. If somebody wants to drink, they're going to drink. If somebody wants to drink, they will bring their own drink to the airport. You know, they will be popping pills. You know, they have to be responsible for everyone has to be responsible for their own behaviour. So I do not believe that there should be no alcohol in airports, because most people can have a drink and get to their destination without causing any trouble at all.
No, well, you can't make laws around the minority.
Yes. So these people have to behave, and if they don't behave, they have to face the consequences. And I mean, you know, if there are incidents, I mean, certainly when I was training as cabin crew, you were trained how to deal with disruptive passengers. And the airport police, I mean, I would never let people off a plane if they had been disruptive. I would wait for the airport police to come and take them off and deal with them. And often then they would call the guards. What Jackie was saying there about the whole check-in process is very, very stressful. And then when you think in the summer, there could be delays of 6 or 7 hours, and there's people in the pub, you know, they're drinking for 6 or 7 hours. But the silent thing, the real trouble is from drugs, is from people taking stuff, and that's you can't see that. But that's what I witnessed, is, you know, very bad behaviour, and it's because they were popping something, pills.
1800 453 106 is the number. Lisa is on the line. Lisa, you've been listening to Marissa and Joan and Sheila and Jackie there today. Do you think we need a national database of basically poorly behaved passengers?
I do. I firmly believe that, because in my opinion, flying is a privilege. It's not a right. And if you abuse that privilege, let alone consistently, why? And the other gentleman who made the point, or the lady who said, you can't get yourself off the airplane safely and you can be an impediment to someone else, then you are putting people in danger. So why do they get the privilege of flying? And so they can either take a boat, or they can walk or take a bike or whatever they need to do. But it's, why put everybody who's trapped in the plane and make them witness to this abhorrent behavior?
But is it not up to the justice system to deal with people that are, you know, badly behaved like this?
Which is great, but they're not. I mean, like the people that are smoking in the bathrooms, they get arrested. And if you're really, really, really bad, but if you're falling down drunk and you're the happiest person who's drunk, you still got to climb over that person if there's an emergency.
Do you fly frequently, Lisa? Have you witnessed much, you know, kind of bad behavior on board flights?
Yeah, and I'm not adverse to people having fun. Gosh, no,
yeah.
I'm not. And I fly to the States to visit family. I've lived here 26 years, so I'm an Irish citizen. And it's just, I don't believe that anybody has the right to do that and put other people in danger.
This texter says, I flew from Belfast 2 years ago, actually with Jet2 Airlines to Gran Canaria. We were in the airport first. The bar was absolutely jammed, music pumping by the time we got in the plane. A lot of people were absolutely drunk. As soon as the seatbelts came off, a group of people were out of their seats. Invariably then, of course, there was a row started over whether it was Derry or Londonderry. 3.5 hours into the flight, the lad beside me and his wife said that they thought the plane was going to have to turn around. Then the pilot came on and said that we were actually travelling into Portugal. One person was removed. It was an absolute nightmare. The entire duration was an 8-hour flight in the end, says this listener. Joan Scales is with us on the line too. Joan, of course, is a travel writer and broadcaster. Do you believe in this idea of a national database as Jet2 is looking for?
Well, Andrea, I think what Jet2 is looking for is probably something that goes on behind the scenes. Every airline has a no-fly list, and they have their banned passengers. They know who they are. But I think what Jet2 is looking at, maybe to fill that gap where the airlines could share these lists. Now, I do believe that a shared database needs to be done carefully and with proper oversight and a clear criteria of what constitutes disruptive behaviour. I mean, someone being giddy with a bit too many drinks on them isn't necessarily disruptive, but someone who is belligerent and starts a row, then. So it's not really about punishment, but it's also about prevention as well. And I think the airports do have responsibility here. As one of the people they're talking has mentioned, you know, going to the bar in the Belfast airport and the bar was like a party. Mm. You know, there's people do an awful lot of drinking before they get on board flights. And what people don't realise as well is once you're at 35,000 feet, the alcohol hits your system much harder than when you're on the ground. So those you think you're having your 5 pints, no bother to you. Those 5 pints could be 10 pints by the time you're up in the air and changes people's behaviour as well. So I think maybe the airports have to think about how much alcohol they sell before people get some flights.
A couple of people suggesting that today. You know, things like maybe putting drinks on the boarding pass or on your boarding card. You know that you're only allowed a certain number. I mean, is that not kind of ridiculous?
A certain number, yeah.
For the people that are actually able to control themselves, you know, that you're only allowed, that you're going to be dictated to how many drinks you can have because of the minority that can't control themselves.
I know we hate being told what we can and can't do. But at the end of the day, it's all about safety and security. And the cabin crew aren't there to be security guards. They're there for our safety first and service second. You know, so we really have to think of them and the disruption. I mean, people have talked there about, you know, that person talked about ended up in Portugal, end up an 8-hour flight. See, your staff is out of hours. That causes huge problems. People missing onward flights, that Lady Sheila mentioned, people missing onward flights. I mean, the cost is enormous. And maybe if there were some examples shown through the courts of these people who caused the disruption of what the actual cost is, and maybe some prison sentences,
might not work as a deterrent. This listener says, they flew to Corfu last year. The guy beside me was clearly intoxicated even getting on the plane. He was then served 4 double vodkas and coke by the cabin crew in the flight. Sure, he could barely stand up by the time we arrived. Another listener says that they were flying from Cork to Lanzarote 18 months ago. Before the departure gate, a man was really unsteady, very drunk, surprised he was even allowed actually to board the plane. But to my dismay, he was seated in one of the window side emergency exit seats. I brought to the steward's attention well before takeoff. I was told that they'd take care of it after we took off the flight. I said that takeoff and landings are the main danger times. Nothing was done before takeoff, but he was removed shortly afterwards. I thought the whole thing was a huge safety risk. Yvonne Redden, travel journalist, is with us on the line. Yvonne, what have you witnessed on board flights?
Hi, Andrea.
How
it's a great
are you?
Topic. I think I was talking to you before about an experience I had last year on board a long-haul flight. I won't say the airline, it doesn't matter. But this was in relation to the duty-free being drunk on the plane, no one monitoring it. And just this guy was absolutely pelagic. I had to move seats. He actually went to the toilet on himself on the plane.
Oh,
it was horrendous. And then there was another guy, totally intoxicated. Do you know what? It's so nerve-wracking when you're in a confined space. So this is the difference with a public space. You can walk away, whereas on a flight you can't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the problem. And I think, you know, even if they're banned on one airline, they can go ahead and book on another airline.
So do you think they should have this national database then?
I think there should be, but it has to be consistent and with all, a variety of airlines, because they can just go and book onto another one. So the problem doesn't get solved, does it? Yeah, I do. I think so. I mean, I was very nervous on that flight because it was a 9-hour flight.
God.
The whole time I was like, oh my God, I had to move his legs. He was just horrendous. They wouldn't go near him, these staff. I think they were afraid if they woke him up that he'd be obnoxious or, you know, even worse. So they were just left him asleep. But it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't a pleasant experience at all. Do you know what I mean? For me. But luckily it was only a one-off.
Yeah.
I haven't experienced anything like that, really.
Well, thankfully, yeah. Oh, it is.
Yeah,
it's very
thankfully.
Distressing. I mean, in some of the stories coming in from listeners today, this texter says, I stopped flying 10 years ago, actually, due to an incident on board a plane, and I will never, ever fly again. Thankfully, though, I've seen much of the world in advance of that. They should absolutely breathalyse people prior to boarding, says this listener. Keep your thoughts coming into us. Keep your stories. Do you think we need to have a national database of disruptive passengers? Basically, people who are causing, you know, huge kind of level of unruly or disruptive behaviour on board flights. Should they be banned from flying again? Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. Yvonne, Marissa, Joan, Sheila, Jackie, Lisa, thanks a million for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.